Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary. This week's commentary for Tetzaveh and Purim was written by Dr. Ofra Arieli Beckenroth, Associate Dean of the William Davidson Graduate School of Jewish Education and Assistant Professor of Jewish Education at JTS. The masks that we wear. Growing up in Israel, Purim was a wonderful experience, full of fun and games, dressing up, putting on masks, going to parties, and attending the Purim parade in Tel Aviv, the Adli Oyada. This name is derived from a rabbinic saying in the Talmud that one should revel on Purim by drinking until one no longer knows how to distinguish between cursed as Haman and blessed as Mordechai. Attending the parade was great fun, but also had a mysterious aspect. Who are the people hiding behind the masks? What are they concealing and what are they trying to reveal? It was all very colorful and happy, but in equal measure scary and confusing. This Purim is precisely a year since another scary and confusing event slipped into our lives. Most of us began sheltering in place, changing our behavior in a dramatic way, distancing ourselves from friends and family, working from home, protecting ourselves by wearing masks in public. As you read this, we are still wearing masks, and not only Purim masks. These masks are not intended to hide our identity behind some new pretended one. These days, donning masks is for a serious purpose, to protect ourselves and the people around us from the virus threatening our health and well-being. However, even these masks can change our behavior and create a sense of distance and secrecy. The Torah portion we're reading this Shabbat, right in between the day of Purim most of us celebrate and Shoshan Purim, which is celebrated in Jerusalem and a few other cities, deals with garments of the high priest and, implicitly, with the mystery associated with wearing this opulent attire during the sacrificial ceremonies. The Torah illustrates with extreme precision the priestly vestments and the ordinations of Aaron and his sons. The high priest's garments are gorgeous, made from the most expensive fabrics in stunning colors of gold, blue, and crimson, and adorned with precious stones. These garments play several roles. The precious stones embedded in the high priest's choshen, breastplate, represent the whole nation. Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel on the breastpiece of decision over his heart when he enters the sanctuary, for remembrance before the Lord at all times. Similarly, the names of the tribes of Israel engraved on two lazuli stones on the shoulders of the ephod. The Gemara cites Rabbi Inni Bar Sason, who asks, why was the passage in the Torah that discusses animal sacrifice juxtaposed to the passage in Leviticus that discusses the priestly vestments? He then explains that just as offerings effect atonement, so too priestly vestments symbolically effect atonement. He continues to list the specific atonement purpose of each element of the vestments. According to the Zohar, all the priestly garments were emblematic of supernal mystery. This mystical reading focuses on the layered nature of the vestments. Reading this long and detailed section dedicated to the description of clothing, I wonder about the importance attributed to clothing and to the way we present ourselves in public. The Rambam notes that the commandment to dress the high priest in dazzling garments is not only to enhance the status of the priest himself and the nation he represents, but also to glorify the name of God. Ralph Lee, an American puppeteer known for his non-traditional masks and costumes, often speaks about aspects of wearing masks and costumes and asks, does a mask hide certain aspects of the wearer or give the person the freedom and or responsibilities to become someone else? Asking this question as an educator, I'm reminded about a short book, The Egg That Disguised Itself, Habeitzah Shehit Chapsha, by Dan Pagis. I've used this story when teaching creative dance to young children during Purim, developing the various images presented in the book into dance phrases. The author was born in Bukovina, Romania, lost his mother when he was 4 years old, spent his early years in a Nazi concentration camp in the Ukraine, immigrated to Palestine in 1946, and became a literature professor and a poet. He wrote many poems, mostly exploring the Holocaust, but he also wrote and illustrated this one children's book, a book that might be regarded as a straightforward rhyme about an egg that finds itself in an identity crisis, trying to become something different, and in the end, surrendering to the natural fate of an egg and becoming a baby chick. Bored and lonely, the egg is looking to be something else, an artificial identity constructed by costumes, limited by its physical form, a round egg. It is looking to free itself from its shape. The egg tries disguise after disguise, but in vain. Its eggness always shows until at the end when, found by the mother hen, it develops into its true self, a baby chick. A deeper look at the poem and the work of the poet reveals Pagus trying to disguise and conceal himself throughout his life, hiding from the Nazis during the war, trying to rid himself of his diaspora identity by changing his name to an Israeli name, trying to fit in with the local society. However, his writing reveals understanding and acceptance of his true identity, an immigrant in a new country, writing about his old country and his life story. The mask that we are wearing this poem and our unnatural social distancing behavior are both features of collective responsibility. We don masks to protect not only ourselves, but also the people around us. As the vaccine makes its way into more and more people, and the pandemic at long last ebbs, will we be able to display the same commitment to care for each other once we no longer need to wear masks? Will we learn that the world and ourselves are not exactly the same as we left them a year ago, just before Purim, when we began sheltering in place? Will we be capable of developing, maturing, and realizing that we need to reattune ourselves to our new reality?
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.